Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sister cries out from her baby bed. Brother runs in, feathers on his head. Mama's in her room, learning how to sew. Daddy's drinking beer, listening to the radio. Hank Williams.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. All right, let's start the second hour off this morning. Let's go down to Port O'Connor and check in with Captain Lynn Smith, see how he's doing. Good morning, Lynn. How you doing, bud?
Good morning. I'm looking at that big old full moon.
Yeah, and man, it's not even full yet. Wait till, what's today? What are we doing?
Oh, 18? Man.
Yeah, tomorrow night's the full one.
It looks pretty full to me.
Yeah, if you look at it real close, the top of it's kind of cut off just a hair. It's not much.
Oh, man.
Tomorrow night it's supposed to be a super moon.
Oh, man, it looks pretty big to me.
Yeah,
I'll tell
big
you.
Enough. I'll call it full.
Yeah,
full enough.
Me too. Yeah.
It's bright.
It sure slows the bite, I know that. Yeah. Yeah, buddy. Makes it a full moon, fish at noon type bite, you know. That's the way it goes. But, yeah, I tell you what, boy, I'm pretty tired. I guarantee you. I'm taking the day off. I guarantee you that.
Good for you.
Yeah. No, it hasn't been half bad. We've had that ripping tide. Boy, that tide's been pouring in, hasn't it?
It's a strong one in the mornings, and then, man, after it peters out, I mean, it's fishing slows up. Bites kind of goes to nothing.
I know it, but it's been pouring in the morning. Unreal. But that's good. I've been fishing some flats and let that tide rip over these flats, and I've had some, you know, a lot of bait. Strong rafts of bait and everything. So that works for me. But anyway, I had a funny thing happen a couple of days ago. I was at the service station gassing my boat up. And, I carry an igloo with PVC around it that a friend of mine made for me. And that I carry with me because it's a little shark deterrent, you know.
Right.
And because I throw the trout in it rather than dangle them out there on a stringer, you know.
Right.
I took four bait boxes and I've got them screwed down on the lid. And anyway, and I got baits you know, all kinds of baits on in those bait boxes. And this guy walked up and he said, "Oh, I just want to tell you before you drive off, you got your bait boxes on top of that cooler." I said, "Well, they're screwed down on top."
Yeah,
he
they're.
Went, oh. He said, "Oh, okay." He said, "Well, man," he said, "I wanted to ask you about this thing." He said, "It doesn't tip over anything." I said, "No, no, it doesn't. It floats good. You know, you got ice in it, and it does good." I said, "I've had that thing for years," and I was telling him about years and years ago. I looked online, and Target had some floats that 48 quart igloo would fit in, and I said they didn't sell them in the store, but they had them online. And so I ordered them, and they were $10 a piece. And so I said, "Well, man, that's not bad." So I ordered 10 of them. And so I started passing them out to buddies, you know, and really nobody else wanted them. And I thought, "Man, this is the ticket here, boy. You know, get these fish out of the water and the sharks won't come around you." So anyway, nobody wanted them, you know. And anyway, Ron Elkins, he wouldn't take one. He said, no, I don't want one of those things. I said, "Okay." So Ron was down at Greens, and you know how bad the sharks are down there.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So he was down at Greens, and he had a donut, and I think he had two or three trout in his donut. He wasn't paying attention, and his donut floated up right next to him. And next thing he knew, about a six-foot bull came out about halfway out of the water with his donut in his mouth.
Oh, boy.
And drug him about 30 feet. And so when he got back, he called me. He said, "Hey, you still have those floats that holds those coolers?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I want two of them." "I want two of them." I said, "Okay." I said, "Did you have a little incident?" He said, "Oh, my goodness." He said, "Yes, I did." I said, "Uh-huh. I told you. Got to get those fish out of the water." Man.
Hey, where is Lake Calaveras? Is that in Rockport or somewhere?
See what?
Calaveras Lake Park?
I don't know.
Well, I've been seeing dead fish in that lake all week, people posting up on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hundreds of reds and some catfish, you know, which is probably hardheads and gaff tops, and tons of dying and dead bait, and I guess it's oxygen deprivation. I don't know. I'm looking at it again. This is about the third time I've seen this by different people. But it's Lake Calaveras. I see a big bridge in the background. It kind of, maybe it's Rockport. I don't know. Somebody knows. Huh. Send me a text.
Well, I'll tell you what, that water's been hot.
Yeah.
It has been hot. And I've been wading in that hot water looking for cold water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find, you know, areas of cold water, you find fish. They're wanting in that cold water, too.
Cool spots, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. But I'm thinking about advertising skipjack charters, you know.
Yeah, y'all got some big ladyfish down there right now.
Oh my goodness!
Big
old
size.
Oh man, I tell you what, there's been some big ones, Boone and Crockett class. You know,
boy,
man, I tell you what, they're everywhere, and catching a lot more of them than gaff top, which isn't a bad deal. You know, like I
think all
the
gaff top came up my way, man. There's millions of them now. They're nasty.
Really? Oh, well, we'll catch one every once in a while, but man, those skipjacks are something. I mean, you just can't hardly cast without hooking one. Oh, they're terrible.
I just got
big.
A text from Mark and Lamarck. He said Calaveras is over south of San Antonio. So it must be one of those freshwater lakes that are stocked with redfish.
Ah, okay.
Because I looked at the photos. I mean, hundreds of redfish lining the shorelines.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty looking.
So they're landlocked, huh?
Yeah, they're in the lake.
Uh-huh.
Not good.
Oh, my goodness. No, not at all. Oh, that's not good.
Well, I'm sure the coyotes and coons are eating good.
No, you know it. You know it. Yep. Well, that's not a good thing. Well, speaking of coyotes, I'm going to run down to the George West and Freer Saturday and just actually going down there for a wedding. A ranch manager, that he and his wife are renewing their vows.
Oh, okay.
And so we're going to go down there and do that and then run down to Freer and for the reception, you know. And it'll be a good trip. We're going to have a good time. But
I don't think my wife would want to do that after marrying me once. That's enough. I don't think she'd want to do it again.
Oh, yeah.
After 47 years or whatever it's been.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness. That's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. For a woman to put up with me, that's Congressional Medal of Honor recipient right there.
You ought to hang one up around her neck.
I don't know many fishing guys have been married that long.
That's a fact. Oh, that is a fact. Good grief. Yeah, she's put up with a lot. Yep.
Boy, I tell you, maybe that's why we're still together.
Man, oh, man. Well, you've been away from home a lot.
Yeah.
I know that. Yep. That's the only way she put up with you. Yep. Yep. Well, you've been away a lot between that and hunting.
Yeah, hunting season, that's... Well, you got to get away, man. I mean,
that's it. That's
man's
it.
Man's got to feed his appetite somehow.
That's it. That's exactly right. Yeah, this friend of mine is that just loves to fish the surf. I texted him a couple of weeks ago, and I said, "Are you out on the surf?" And he didn't. He texted me back about an hour later. He said, "No, I'm in Africa hunting." I went, "Oh my goodness." And then he texts me back and picture of him with a big hippo.
Ooh.
I think I sent you that picture of the hippo, didn't I? Or did I not? Anyway, huge hippo. And I said, "Oh my goodness." He said, "Well, some villager called his PH and said, 'Look, can you come over here? And this hippo has already killed two people.'"
Oh, so they had a rogue, a bad one.
Yeah.
That was killing.
Oh,
people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, can you come over and take care of this? And my buddy said, "I'm your man." So he went over and shot that hippo. But I think he's going to have a full body mount done.
Oh, here it is. I found it. You did send it to me.
Yeah.
Boy,
the thing is huge.
And they're going to have a full body mount of that?
I think he will.
So what do you do after the taxidermist delivers it to you in an 18-wheeler?
Oh, he'll have to build another room on his house.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way I could put that in my house. I mean, just think of the size of the doors you got to have to get it through.
Oh, I know. He'll have to build another room.
Cut the wall out. Put him in there and then close it back up.
I know.
And I got that picture the other day of that big tiger shark, that 13-footer hung up down there.
Wasn't that something? What? I know it. I know it. And that's
right there where we like to wade fish.
Exactly. He's right out there where we waded.
Not good.
Yeah. Oh, he was. 13-foot tiger.
My gosh.
Man. Yeah. Boy, that'll put a chill up your back, won't it?
Yeah, that'll put me in the boat for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we've
seen
sure
some
big
ones
boat.
Out there. We've seen some big ones out there. Because, you know, it's deep on two sides of that hump.
Yeah, it is.
There. And, I mean, it's just a natural highway for the big shark.
Yeah, they come right through Pass Cavallo, you know. And
yeah. Well, they come through the pass, and then they
the
all
come
up to the jetties. Yeah. And they just travel right
it's
between
like a freeway.
Those two. Exactly. And, oh, my goodness, yeah, there's monsters out there.
One of the biggest hammerheads I've ever seen swam right between me and Blaine. We were fishing that in a tournament one year.
Oh, my goodness.
And I looked at him, and I said, hey, man, let's run back over to Powderhorn and see if we can get one more decent one and fight those little ankle-biter sharks over there. They can have this. It's a creature on this thing. I said, man, that's a big fish. Take your breath.
Yeah, one year we were catching some really good trout over there at Bird Island, and I took some customers over there, and we just smoked them. And so anyway, my customer went back over there the next day, and he was fishing a tournament, and he and his buddy, and he was wading out there by waist deep, and they were catching some really good fish, and he said he hooked this one trout, a 20-inch trout, and he said he was working it in, and all of a sudden he looked up, and about a 6-foot shark was coming right after his trout, and he started backing up back toward the island, and that shark just backed him up right up to the sand, you know. And he said that shark was coming right after his trout with his mouth open, coming after that trout. And he said, "Oh my goodness!" He said, "Oh," and he kept backing up, and that shark had his mouth open, coming after that trout.
Oh Lord!
Yeah. They said, boy, I know my hair had to be standing straight up.
Yeah. Coming right at you and your fish with their mouth open like that.
Uh-huh.
Like a jaw scene.
Oh, yeah.
Let me do this break, Lynn. I'll come back at you. Hang on, buddy.
All right, man.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
was a kind of blind. Thought everything was going all right, but I was running out.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 519 here in the Bayou City. All right, Lynn, we're back at it.
Yeah, well, yesterday I was at the bait house there at Clark's, and they said, well, be ready, because they had an airboat poker run yesterday.
Airboat run, okay.
Uh-huh. And I said, oh, really? And they said, yeah. They said, it's supposed to be about 11 o'clock. I said, oh, goody. I said, the bite today is supposed to be from 10 to 1.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah. So about 11 o'clock, we're waiting on this flat, and, man, I hear this roaring noise, and we looked up, 50 airboats, 50, came roaring down the south shoreline of the island, and they were headed out, man, 50 airboats.
My gosh.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Think that was kind of loud?
A little bit. A little loud. And it was amazing. None of them ran near me, but we were waiting a flat, but good grief. I said, Bob, you know they ran over somebody. Oh, boy, that was something.
Yeah, that's 50 airboats. And
yeah,
what was it for? Just for the heck of it?
Yeah. Well, it was a poker run.
Yeah.
That's what it was. One of those poker runs. But, oh, man. And another deal was funny. I saw a guy yesterday. I was standing there talking to a buddy of mine. This one guy walked up, and he had 11 stitches right between his eyes. And I said, man, I said, what happened to you? So I punched you right between the eyes. And he said, no. He said, I ran aground a couple of days ago dodging a waiter. And he said, I dodged the weight fisherman, and I ran aground, and I hit my windshield.
Man.
Yeah. He had 11 stitches right between his eyes.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Can't believe we got a lot of him out.
I know it. Well, we got a lot of hard sand down here.
Yeah, boats come to a real abrupt stop in that hard sand.
Yes, it does. That and oyster shell does it to you. Yeah.
You know, mud,
but, you know,
it'll slide a little bit before you come to a complete stop.
Yeah. But, you know, I think he was in the pass, and that pass changes a lot.
Right.
You know, and it has really changed a lot this year. And these storms do it. I mean, they really do it. After each storm, you've got to go out there and see where the cuts are, where the guts are.
Yeah.
Because it changes. I like going out there if it's rough, because you can see the breakers and you can see where the guts are, you know, and where the bars are. Otherwise, you go out there on a calm day, and you're just liable to run aground.
Yeah, it's hard to differentiate the bars from the guts. Mm-hmm. And everything looks the same.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I try to run out there and get a track on my GPS anyway, you know, where you can run out to the surf.
Can you imagine being up in one of those tower boats and running aground like that and getting slung out of that?
Oh, my goodness. You know, we had a tower boat come out of Pringle a few years ago, and it came out of Pringle and ran straight out. Well, there's a big bar right out in the mouth of Pringle. And you've got to know just how to get out of there. Well, he came straight out, and I think there were three guys on the tower.
Oh,
and
wow.
It hit that bar and just rolled over with them. Yeah, they were lucky nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
But, it's pretty dangerous, pretty dangerous. I was out waiting the shoreline one day, and we heard a boat coming, and it was a Stuart Campbell. And Stuart had a boat with a tower on it, and he had just gotten it out of the shop. He just had it built, actually. And my buddy that I was waiting with knew him, And he waved him down, and Stuart came over there, and we got on a boat with Stuart. We ran over on the south shoreline, ran back in the lakes, and just were playing with the boat, you know, trying it out, because it was a shoal water boat, but he had put a tower up on it, and we played around with that boat. That boat would run and spit. I mean, it would run super skinny, real skinny. It was impressive. It really was. But we almost turned it over. We almost did.
Boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all right. I'll stay down on the floor behind the console. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know?
You can get in trouble real quick.
Yeah, you can.
Those power boats. They're real top heavy. No doubt about that.
Like old Lou, that coach in Major League, said, I'm too old to be diving off in a locker. I'm too old to be slung out of a tower, I can tell you that.
Well, I've rolled over airboats before. And I was with a buddy of mine one time, and we rolled an airboat. And I tried to jump clear, but I didn't jump far enough. And the cage rolled over on top of me. And when I hit the water and grass, in salt grass, the cage rolled over on top of me, and I was holding the cage, and the prop was swinging right in front of my face.
Oh God!
Holding the cage, and the prop was right in front of my face, and it was still running. And he jumped down, and he said, "Man, you all right?" And I said, "Yeah, just get this thing off of me, you know,
man.
kill the motor, because it had a Lycoming 0540 on it,
right?"
Boy, that engine run upside down, you know.
Yeah.
And if it had not had a cage on it, I'd be dead, boy.
Yeah, you would. You'd been fish food.
Oh yeah. I tell you.
Yeah, Lycoming—that's an airplane engine. They'll run in any position.
Yeah. 0540 six-cylinder.
Yeah.
Six-cylinder. Those are good engines, but boy, howdy. They were strong. I ended up buying that boat years later, and that boat, you could launch it in the parking lot. You could drop it off the trailer in the parking lot and just run it over to the ramp and drive it right down in the ramp into the water. You know, that airboat was strong, boy.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh yeah.
I've been in a couple of good ones over the years. There's nothing like them. I tell you.
No, I'm telling you.
You just
gotta
watch yourself with them. That's just.
Oh yeah,
they're not for everyday running.
No, my dad used to build them years ago, and you got to know what you're doing with them. No doubt about that.
Yeah,
I've been around them all my life. You got to respect them.
Yes, you do.
And I'll tell you what,
in a heartbeat.
Oh, I'm telling you, man, no flotation. You know.
No, and you take a big old wave over the back with that heavy engine and everything back there and that gear case, you're going to bottom.com, buddy.
A friend of mine, he called me and said, he said, my airboat, it swims with the fishes. And he loaned his airboat to his partner, business partner, and he sank it at South Pass, going across South Pass down here. And he said the only thing sticking up was the white light on top of the cage. That was it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and what happened was he was going across South Pass. He let off the gas. Well, just like you said, when he let off the gas, the back end dropped down and the water came over the transom and sank it in a heartbeat.
That's all it takes.
No flotation. Yeah, that's it. You're done. You are done.
We were at the goo hole one time, where the old goo hole we used to put in back there in the marsh. And a lot of duck hunters run out of there, and fishermen too. And this guy showed up with a brand new Panther airboat. I mean, had never had maiden voyage. And he is a big old boy. He was a 300 plus. And he gets it in, gets up in that chair and fires it off, and he takes off and heads out towards Cotton Lake, and it's real rough. And he decided to turn around and think about it a minute. Well, when he slowed down and turned around, he took a wave over the back, and he came back on into that slip, and it was sitting there, and then he decided to take off. Well, the back end's full of water. Well, and when he showered down on it, it just pushed the whole back end under, and he just went down in that slip, sunk it right there in front of God and everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I felt bad for him.
And these airboats are not cheap these days.
No, they're not.
They are not cheap. Boy, howdy. Yeah, boy. Man, oh, man.
They're a handy tool down your way. You're going to do some serious duck hunting. You got to have one down there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, during duck season, there's a lot of them, you know. A lot of them, for sure. And, I've run one for years down here, but it sure makes hunting easier. I guarantee you that. It was so funny. I took this friend of mine and his wife, and, boy, they had a real pretty lab, and they took the lab, and we were out there putting out decoys, and his wife laid the guns up on the bow of the airboat. Well, next thing you know, the dog jumped up on the bow of the airboat. You know, there went salt water all over the guns. Oh, man, he was not happy with his dog or his wife for letting the dog get up there. Get the guns all salt watered. Yeah, that wasn't pretty. But, yeah, incredible. But it sure was nice to be able to pull up to the blind of that airboat.
Yes.
Get everything off the boat right into the blind and then ease off. Sure makes hunting easier.
Yes, it does. Takes a lot of work out of it.
I had a blind over on the island, and about 6 inches of water in front of my blind. And it was a good southeast wind blind. And the first part of the season, the early season, it was one of the best pintail and widgeon blinds on the coast. I mean, I'm telling you, it was an awesome, awesome blind. The second part of the season, it wasn't that good. Once the wind started out of the north, it was not a good north wind blind.
Yeah.
But, boy, it was a good first season blind. Man, oh, man. Those ducks love that shallow water. Oh, my goodness. That was an awesome blind. And when they came out with those robo-ducks, a buddy of mine had told me about them, and I looked up in the magazine, and I found one, and I ordered one. And nobody had them down here. And so I got that thing in, and I told a buddy of mine about it. I said, let's go try it out. So we ran out there to my blind, and put it out, and for the first hour, we never fired a shot. We just watched. We sat there in the blind, and the pintails would come over, about 50 to 100 of them, and just lock up and just circle us and come in. And we just sat there and watched them. I mean, we said, oh, this is unbelievable. And there were other airboats coming by and turned around and coming back to see what it was. They could see that. They could see that robo duck, and they didn't know what it was. And they could see the ducks falling in there to us. They couldn't believe it. Oh, it was incredible. Now ducks
are getting wise to them.
Oh, yeah, they're wise to it now. Well, they see them all the way down from Canada.
I mean, by the time they get to us, they've seen every trick in the book.
Oh, I'm telling
you. Along that flyway, all the way down to the coast, man.
Exactly. Well, you know, growing up in Port Arthur, I mean, I hunted Sabine Pass, the Sea Rim Marsh. That's where I hunted.
Mm-hmm.
And I made like 300 white decoys. And I just made them out of some paper stuff that they had at the newspaper.
Yeah.
And anyway, they were okay to carry out there out in the marsh, but once they got wet, just no way you could carry them.
No.
But anyway, I would leave them out there and in a tow sack, and I'd leave them there till the end of the season. Well, anyway, there was nobody hunting the geese out there on that prairie. And, boy, on foggy days, I'd set those things out. And, buddy, it was murder. I mean, we really hammered the geese. We would hammer them. They were like
rag spreads, what we called them back in the day.
Well, we had rags, too, but these were like silhouettes.
Yeah.
And I'd put those silhouette decoys out there, and we had rags, too. But, oh, my goodness, and on foggy days, and we'd start calling, and, buddy, it was murder.
And then we got to making those wind socks on the stick.
Uh-huh.
They went crazy over those. And
Oh, gosh, yes.
I watch a lot of those guys hunting up north for Canadians and all that, and they're using real stuffed birds for decoys.
I saw that, yeah.
That's kind of an expensive spread to throw one of them out like that. Let me knock this break out, Lynn. Hang on a second. I'll be right back.
All right.
Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market, located right in downtown Belleville. They're a short drive from Sealy off I-10 or Hempstead off 290. Go downtown, look for the big white sign, and their meat market and processing facility are next door to one another. And check out all their, you know, fresh ground beef and their, you know, grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. You can't beat it. And they have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And they have bulk pricing available on their fresh ground beef and pecan smoked sausage all year long. Homemade hamburger patties and hot dogs are available all summer long for your cookout needs. And if you're looking to have a quarter or half calf processed, that's available for pre-order also. The Belleville is celebrating 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Dog barking at the mailman, bringing that stack of bills overdue. Good morning, baby. How are you?
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 540 here in the Bayou City. All right, Liam, we're back, man.
Yeah, we used to hunt down in Sabine Pass. We used to hunt a knoll out in the middle of the marsh that was some gravel on it. Well, those geese would just fall in there and on their own and land it and eat that gravel, you know, get
gravel
that gravel
mound, for their crawl. You bet.
Exactly. And we could go out there and actually pass shoot and get a couple of geese and go out there and stake them out on that knoll. And that's all you needed was a couple of geese out there and use them as decoys and just sit there and hammer them. Because, boy, they wanted to come in there and get that gravel. I mean, it was awesome hunting. And we did that every year. But those geese wanted that gravel. In the middle of nowhere, out there in the middle of the marsh. That was some super hunting there.
Oh, yeah. Our refuge have graveling mounds, you know, set up through the wildlife refuge there just for that, for the birds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hunted down there for years and years. You could go into Sabine Pass, and you could buy a pass. You could pay for a pass to hunt there for $3. $3 a day. That's what we did. We stopped at a little old shed there and went in and paid $3 to hunt.
Right.
And then we'd put in the Texas Bayou and run up Texas Bayou for about a couple of miles, I guess, and then anchor the boat and then walk across the prairie for about a mile and a half.
Death
march. Across that prairie. Well, it's prairie, really.
Oh, you didn't have any just marsh like, and all that slushy stuff?
No.
Okay.
No, it was like walking on concrete out there, but salt grass.
Right.
And but you'd walk across that prairie, And then we had a blind on a pond over there that we built a real low blind, and we cut saltgrass and bundled it, and then tied those bundles up and put them against the wire. And you could sit in that blind and lean over, and that saltgrass would kind of lay over you. And I mean, you could walk up within 20 feet of that blind. You couldn't tell it was a blind.
Right.
I mean,
you just had to know where it was at. Yeah.
Oh no. And we had pintails and widgeons. I mean, huge flights. I mean, probably 50 or more birds in flights would come to us. Oh, man. Whistling. Boy, they'd be whistling.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing better than that, man.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
Drake Big widgeons and bull sprigs. Oh, come on with it.
Doesn't get any better than that, does it?
No, not much.
Man.
You know, if it gets in your blood, you just, you know, it's in, you know, it's like trout fishing. You're just done.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. It does. Yeah. Yesterday we jumped out of the boat and had big rafts of bait, you know, coming into this flat. That tide was roaring in and I kind of sitting there, I thought, these big rafts of bait. I thought we were going to have sharks in there with us too. Because one year, I eased into that flat and I had these big rafts of bait coming toward me. And I had a big fin come up right in the middle of all that bait. And I said, that's no porpoise.
No.
That's not a porpoise. And I mean, it was a big shark. And, I just turned around and eased back to the boat because it was a pretty good sized shark. I couldn't tell what kind it was, but it was a pretty good one. I know, a few years back, I had about a 6-foot bull shark follow me back to the boat because I had a donut with 3 trout in it. And boy, he was right behind that donut and he circled me 3 times and I was trying to poke him in the eye. And every time he circled me, that donut got closer, you know, it wrapping around my leg. and I was trying to poke him in the eye with my rod. And finally I was able to poke him pretty good, but he took off. But I'll tell you what, the pucker factor set in pretty good.
I promise you.
Yeah. But he was a pretty good one. He's a pretty good size shark. I can't tell you how many donuts I've had eaten in my lifetime.
Well, see, everybody went to those thinking, oh, these are great. You know, they won't eat them off the stringer, but then I think you...
Yeah.
I'd rather them just bite them off the stringer than to be messing with a donut tied around me and
ooh, man.
You know, shark's teeth get all hung up in that netting and everything and dragging
them
down
flat
like they did Ron Elkins. Come on, man.
Oh, they go crazy, and when that mesh gets hung in their teeth, oh, my goodness. They just explode, you know. Start shaking it, throwing water everywhere. Yeah, they go nuts. I've had a lot of donuts eaten. Yeah, buddy, I've had a lot of experiences. You know, the closest encounter I've ever had was in the surf, and I had about a 7 or 8 foot shark eat a trout that threw water clear over me. I mean, that was a big shark. And all I could see was his mouth inhale that trout right in front of me, you know. And I was about chin deep trying to get across a gut. And that trout was in the air trying to get away from that shark. And that shark inhaled that trout. Yeah, just inhaled him. I mean, just threw water clear over me, you know. And boy, all you want to do is get back to that bar, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Whew, that gets your attention quick.
In a heartbeat. Do it every time.
I don't know what kind he was, but you know, he ate that trout pretty quick. That was a good sized trout, too. But
we're
just turned
far
around.
Away from early teal season. That's coming up. That opens the 14th of September.
Does it? Yeah.
Yeah. Runs through the 29th.
I'm going to try to get out. I'm supposed to go on that white wing season, the 1st, September 1st. Supposed to go on a white wing hunt. I'm looking forward to that. And a buddy of mine and his wife, so I'm looking forward to that. And there's a lot of white wings right now. Of course, you know how that can change.
Well, I'm hearing the same thing, too, in certain areas, near those towns. Yeah. They love roosting in them towns, but it's...
Oh, yeah.
You got the South is September 1st and 2nd, and then September 6th and the 8th. And then I guess regular dove season will open up same time teal does, September 14th in the South Zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Central Zone, September 1st.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot of doves right now. It never fails, though, never fails. We'll have a big storm come through and wash them out.
I know, especially over this way where I'm at. It's, east of Houston. We fought this for years. You'll get one good year and out of three or four, and then you get those rains on opening day every time, man.
Oh, yeah. It never fails. Never fails, man. So down there at that ranch at George West, boy, we had doves just everywhere. You drive up to the ranch house, there'd be doves just lining the high lines, just covering them. And, boy, come dove season, you drive up, you don't see a bird. Nothing. They're gone.
Yep. Here today, gone tomorrow, baby.
That's it. That's the way it happens.
If you got an area where you're dove hunting, don't save them and rest them. Shoot them because they'll be gone.
Yeah.
Before you know it, might as well get them while they're there.
That's right. That's right. And it's going to happen. I guarantee you. And the white wings, like you say, they tend to stay close to town, I know for years we hunted some areas near El Campo. And a lot of those big flights would come out of town. And come out of town, going to the fields, the feed and all that. Big flocks. I mean, big flocks of white wings. Heck, I had some white wings nesting right outside my kitchen window here. I watched them raise a couple of them. But that was interesting. A lot of fun to watch them.
Yeah, Blaine was telling me the other day down south where he's at, they're on their third hatch. They're paired up again on a nest.
Are they?
Yeah, he said he's just loaded with them. It's crazy.
Oh, I bet.
Birds there are,
I bet.
Well, the rains came at the right time down there this year.
Yeah, a lot of quail.
Yeah,
a lot
quail,
of quail.
Quail are going to be abundant. There's going to be a bunch of them.
Yeah.
You'll know because if you're running down a Sendera and you flush a covey and you hit them with your truck, they're thick.
Oh, you know it.
You start running over quail, they're thick, buddy.
Oh, that's a problem to have, isn't it?
That's a good thing. Yes, sir.
God.
There's just not a lot of areas, in the United States you can hunt wild quail anymore other than South Texas.
That's about right.
People come from all over the country, and they get down there and go, man, these wild birds, they tough to hit. They're used to, the pen ray stuff.
Uh-huh. And there's a big difference in the way they fly.
Yeah, there is. The way they fly, heck yeah, man. A covey rise, a wild quail, that's good stuff.
Oh, gosh.
You better be
big
on
difference.
Your game, buddy.
I went down to Argentina.
Too. Wild quail are a lot better eating than the domestic.
Oh, absolutely. No comparison. I went down to Argentina on a dove hunt, and... oh my goodness! I mean, that was incredible. we had a rain come through overnight, and so we went out to the field and we hunted in the morning, and then we would go into the lodge to have lunch, and we were going into the lodge. We're going down this road, dirt road, and there was water standing in the road. We slowed down. We had to slow down and look, and there were thousands of doves on the water standing in the road, and thousands circling waiting to get to the end of that water. I mean, thousands of doves. You can't imagine. You know, because they were just waiting for the ones that were drinking to leave so they could get in there.
Exactly.
Drink. I mean, unbelievable.
Well, nobody's ever shot dove on a water hole. They've missed out. That's, you know, you get a real dry year and you got some water and those dove want to come in there in the evenings to water up.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. Who let the gate open?
Oh, it's something to see, isn't it?
Just wave after wave after wave.
Yeah. And sit around a water hole with a 410. That's what you want to do.
Yeah, that's fun, ain't it? Oh, man.
It is. It is that. Sit around there with a 410.
What do you like to shoot duck hunting, shotgun-wise? I'm sure you got several. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it depends. I mean, you know, it depends on where you're hunting. You know, if you're teal hunting, I'd shoot a 28, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a 28 gauge is hard to beat. You know, some people say, oh, you know, it's just not enough gun to kill the ducks. You're not taking away anything. So Jimmy Reel, you know, the legendary goose hunter, he hunted geese with a 28. And, you know, a 28, you're not giving away anything. I mean, velocity-wise and all that.
Just a few less BBs.
Yeah, that's it. And pattern-wise, the 28 probably throws the best pattern of any of the gauges.
I think it does, too. I hear that from a lot of guys. You know, they love to dove hunt and teal hunt with 28s, and they pattern so good.
It throws a beautiful pattern. It really does. And you're not sacrificing anything. So that's a great gauge to shoot, you know. And for years, you couldn't get 28 gauge, I don't think, in steel. I think you can now. So anyway, I know some guys that do hunt ducks with a 28. So it's a great gauge. I love it. I love it. And when I go dove hunting, the first white wing hunting, I think that's what I'm going to hunt with.
Right.
The 28. But I always liked that. When I shot skeets, I actually didn't really like the 20 gauge. The 20 gauge, I just didn't really prefer it. I preferred the 28 over the 20.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And
that's
I really
good to
did.
Know.
Some guys, I know guys that shot the 20 gauge in the 12 gauge event. Because they didn't, I guess they just didn't like the recoil of the 12, so they shot the 20.
Right.
And did just as well, you know. Shot a lot of hunters.
I used to love shooting was my old 16 gauge, my old humpback 16.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I loved that gun for ducks and geese.
Killed, you know, in all the years, in all the years I've hunted, I've never, ever shot a 16 gauge shotgun. I've never pulled the trigger on one.
I still got one, a Sweet 16. A little rough looking, but it operates beautifully.
I'm sure.
Get out again and start shooting. Well, I may dove hunt with it this year.
I bet shells are hard to find, aren't they?
Yeah, they
are. Are shells hard to find?
Yeah, they can be. But if you get them the right time of year, you can order them online and get them.
But, I'll be darned.
All right, Lynn. Well, hey, buddy, if somebody wants to come down and fish with you this fall and what's left of summer, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, they can give me 361-935-6833.
That was good thinking on my part. I hope summer's over pretty quick. Looking for an early fall, baby. All right, man.
Oh, bring it on. Bring it on,
sir.
Man.
It'd be nice to have a cool morning to teal hunt in instead of
wouldn't it be
90
degrees. Nice?
Oh, yeah. All right, buddy. See you, man.
All right, man. Have a good one, Mick.
Later. All right, that's Lynn Smith down in Port O'Connor. It's time for our top of the hour break with the national anthem and all that good stuff. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.